Let's go to Psalm 135 once again. I'm sure you picked it out. I'm sure you noticed the similarity in the text that we read. But in that 13th verse of Psalm 135, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." The memorial of the Lord is his name. Thy name, O Lord, endures forever, and thy memorial will endure throughout all generations, the psalmist said. And then in Hosea chapter 12 and in verse number 5, the prophet here says, "Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." The Lord is his memorial. This morning, I want to preach on that subject. The Lord is our memorial. The Lord is our memorial. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for the privilege it is to have your word in our hands. Thank you for this amazing book that we can open up, read, study, and glean from. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would take the thought, the truth, that you would use them to magnify yourself. For you are our memorial. And I pray that after we finish here this morning, we would come away with a desire to serve you, to live for you. I pray that we'd come away with just a awe of who you are. And I pray especially, Lord, that you would convict us and challenge to keep you first and foremost in our lives. Help us today, Lord, as we preach. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you'd fill me fresh and anew. I pray that you touch me with your power. I pray that I'd be clothed with the endowment of power that's from on high. I pray that your word would be straight, sharp, as a two-edged sword this morning, that it would help us, encourage us. And I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in each and every heart. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith. I pray that your hand would be upon this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So God places memorials in our lives to help us remember something that ought to be remembered. When you go to Washington, D.C., if you've ever been there, the city is full of memorials. There is the Washington Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, and on it goes. There are memorials to various statesmen, victories, and even to an unknown soldier. In the same way, God places memorials in our lives. Things like the Lord's Supper is a memorial. Resurrection Sunday is a memorial. Christmas time is a memorial to keep us in remembrance of the things that ought to be remembered. We see in our scripture this morning some amazing things about our God. He's got all power. He's got all authority to rule and reign from heaven above. But yet at the same time, he's personal and he enters into the lives of mankind. And the prophet said there in verse number 5, "The Lord God of hosts," speaking of the Almighty One, the Creator of heaven and of earth, the God of the universe, the Captain of the hosts, the Captain of the angels, this Lord God of hosts, he, the Lord, is his memorial. He's a memorial of Jacob, of Judah. He's a memorial of Israel. He's a memorial of God's chosen people. And this morning, the Lord is our memorial. I want to share with you some things about our Lord that we ought to always remember. I'm going to have you turn to another portion of Scripture. It's back in the book of Psalms, chapter 146. So you can begin turning there, Psalm 146. And today I'm going to give you 5 things that the Lord is. We know the Lord is our memorial. In other words, the Lord is someone that we should remember all the time, constantly be thinking of, admiring, recognizing, honoring, paying homage to. The Lord is our memorial. We look to him today and to his amazing grace and mercy. We look to him today who is all-powerful. We look to him who is all-knowing. We look to him who's all present. He's everywhere at every time. And this great God that we serve, the Lord of hosts, he is our memorial. Today, I am moved with emotion. I get patriotism from my dad. My dad was a very patriotic man. He did serve in the Air Force. And as a result of that, the government was willing to pay for his burial, pay for his headstone. My dad is buried in the Saratoga National Cemetery in upstate New York. And I love going there, especially around this time. You go there and you see all the gravestones with the flag next to each one of them. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful cemetery. I mean, it's just so pristine. Everything's in order, just like things are in the military. But I mean, it's like everything's just superb. And it's just a beautiful place to go and just go for a walk. It's hard as I believe to say, go for a walk in a cemetery. Yes, it's a beautiful, it's a memorial. It's a place where you remember those who served our country. And I'm so thankful for that. But at the same thought, in the same breath, I think of going to a cemetery and seeing a piece of a stone or seeing a plaque, seeing some memorial. It's just made up of stone. It's just made of a brick, and there's nothing special about the material. Some of those memorials, I'm sure, are very, very, very expensive. But there's really nothing special about that material, but what it represents. And, you know, you'll go to a memorial, and you'll see that the beautiful architecture of it, but yet it's got no life to it. It's just a memory of something that had life. Well, our Lord's not like that. We don't worship some statue. We don't worship some image on a cross. We don't worship some beautiful architecture. We don't worship some instruments at an altar. We worship a real, live, living God who's on the throne today. We don't worship a statue. We don't fall down and pay homage to any graven image, because Ten Commandments warns us not to, for one. But for secondly, what's the sense of that? There's no life in those things. There's no life in a plaque or a memorial, a statue. But our Lord, who is our memorial, is real. And He's living, and He's breathing, and He has power, and He has authority, and He's personable, and you can go to Him today, and you're not going to bow down to some piece of rock. You're going to bow down to the rock and cornerstone of our salvation. You're going to bow down to the one who's alive and all-powerful, almighty, who's omnipotent, who's at work in our lives and in this world today. He is our memorial. Well, there's five things I want to give you about our memorial. The Lord is our memorial. And in Psalm 146, verse number 7, I'll begin reading. Psalm 146 and verse number 7, we're going to see five things in these three verses about our Lord. In Psalm 146 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked He turneth upside down." This morning, I'd like to give you five things from these verses about our memorial, the Lord, our God. He is an amazing God, and I want to share five things with you this morning that speak to who He is. Number one, the Lord looseth those that are in bondage. The first thing we know about our memorial, our Lord, is that the Lord looseth those that are in bondage. The word looseth there means actually to jump. It has an idea of escaping. The Lord escapes. The Lord looses. The Lord lets loose. The Lord helps us to jump, to be set free, to escape the bondage. The Lord looseth those that are in bondage, those who are fastened prisoners. That's actually what the word means. A bondage is not just being in jail. It's not just being confined to a certain area, but it actually means to be imprisoned, to be chained, hands and feet to a wall somewhere. That's the kind of bondage that He's referring to when He says, "The Lord looseth the prisoners." Not just those who are in a prison, but those who are in chains and in bondage, the Lord delivers them or looseth them. The Lord can set us free. The Lord can set anyone free who's willing to let Him enter into their lives and do His great work. The Lord can set free anyone who is bound and enslaved. This morning, maybe you're bound and enslaved emotionally. Maybe there's some emotional tendency that you have. Maybe there's some weakness that you have emotionally that you need the Lord to set you free from. I'll give you an obvious one: fear and anxiety. That's an emotional bondage. And the Lord doesn't want you to have that. The Lord wants you to set you free from that. But maybe it's some other emotional bondage. Maybe it's a feeling of being a failure, being rejected. And you have a tough time accepting that the Lord loves you. Well, I'm here to say He loves you despite of what you are, not because of what you are. You are accepted in the Beloved, and you have a tough time in receiving love. You're emotionally been hurt, and you've been bound and enslaved by these emotional weaknesses. The Lord can set you free from those things, those emotional bondages that bind us. But not only that, maybe there's an addiction today in this room. I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of your life, but maybe there's an addiction sitting in this room today. I'm here to tell you that the Lord can set you free from that. The Lord of glory, the Lord who has all power, can come in and break those chains that bind you. He can break that stronghold of addiction that is in your life, that may have been in your parents' life, and it may have been in your grandparents' life, that addiction that you struggle with. The Lord has the power to set you free, to break those chains of addiction. Maybe it's some infirmity this morning. Maybe you're like the Apostle Paul and you're just struggling with some infirmity of the flesh. And you've asked the Lord 3 times, 5 times, 300 times. You've asked the Lord to remove it from you, but He has at this point chosen to let you keep that infirmity. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Lord has the power over that affliction or that infirmity. Don't get into the thinking that, well, this is beyond the Lord's control. No, nothing's beyond His control. If He hasn't done something about it, then it's just not His time. But don't get discouraged and think, well, I guess I'm just going to have to put it on the tombstone that this is just the way it's going to be. This is the end. I'm going to suffer with this affliction. Now, you very well have to deal with it the rest of your life. But it's not because the Lord can't heal you of it. He certainly can. He's certainly able to. He has the power to break that chain of infirmities and afflictions. How about sinful behavior? The book of Hebrews calls it our besetting sin. The Lord has the power to break the chains that bind us. The Lord has the power to set us free from those sinful behaviors that we're just prone to do. The Lord looseth those that are in bondage. Number 2, the Lord openeth the eyes of the spiritually blind. The Lord openeth the eyes of the spiritually blind. Now I'm going to teach you something amazing here. That word openeth means to open. Okay? No, it means exactly what it says. To openeth means to open, okay? There's no special meaning in the Greek for that word openeth. It just means to open. But the Lord has the amazing ability to open up the eyes of those who are in darkness. The eyes of perception to see clearly. The Lord can illuminate His way to the blind. Now, obviously, if you're saved today, one day the Lord came into your life and He opened up your eyes to see the truth that you needed Jesus, you needed to ask Him for forgiveness, you needed to trust in Him for your salvation, and one day your eyes were spiritually opened and you were saved. But in addition to that, as Christians, as saved people, there are times as we go through this life where we are just kind of in the dark. We don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand the reason for the circumstances in our lives. We don't understand how the answer is going to be solved or how the outcome is going to be. And we feel like sometimes we're in the dark. While the Lord can illuminate the eyes of those who are in darkness. And I seek that from the Lord every day of my life. Lord, open my eyes so that I see what I need to see. Lord, help me to have eyes of perception. Lord, help me to see. Help me to have discernment. And the Lord has the ability to open our eyes, to let us see what we need to see, so that we are not wandering in darkness. Last night, my wife and I, when we went to bed, and I love how the Lord just gives, you knew what I was preaching, and he gave me an illustration to use, but and you can just ask her, this is true, I'm not making this up, and the next time I'm going to tell you something that's true, I'll let you know too. But no, I'm always going to tell you the truth, but this is really true, okay? This really happened last night. We were sitting in bed, and for some reason, we turned out the lights. It just looked so much darker than other nights. I mean, we do have a little night light out in what we call our dining room area, so that when Josiah comes down the steps at night, he can see and not fall down the steps. And so there's a little nightlight out there, but that doesn't really shine much around into our room. And when she turned off the lights to our bedroom, I was like, did you forget to turn the nightlight on? And she said, no, she turned it on. And then I thought back, it's like, yeah, I just walked past her and it was on, wasn't it? But it just looked so dark. Our room was so dark. And it's not like we always keep our shades shut, so the curtains were closed, and so that wasn't it. But it was just extra dark for some reason. But after about 5 or 10 minutes sitting in bed, your eyes adjusted a little bit, and then it didn't look as dark as it was. It became more normal. Brother Larry, do you know normal is a relative term? So, you know, if someone calls you normal, you know, you might still not be, no, I'm just teasing. no, we're all normal folks, I think so. But it looked at first darker than normal, but after a while we were able to see. And sometimes in life we go through things. It could be a trial of health. It could be just trial of a loneliness. It could be a trial of just some heartbreak. Maybe losing a loved one. Maybe seeing your child walk away from the Lord. And the list can go on and on of examples where we just feel like we're in the dark. We have no direction. We just feel like we're in a dark hole somewhere. The Lord is able to turn the lights on. Better yet, he's given us a flashlight to help us through those dark times. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. And the Lord will shine his light in our hearts and our souls. He'll open up our eyes. I'm so glad the Lord openeth the eyes of those in darkness. Number 3, the Lord raiseth those that have fallen down. The Lord raiseth those who have fallen. The word raiseth there means to lift up, to comfort, to lift up and to comfort. The Lord is a specialist in taking broken people who are down in a dump, who are in the miry clay of the sin of the world. The Lord is able to reach down, grab them, salvage them, restore them, reuse them. He raises those that have fallen. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. And it's sad, but every now and then you hear of a casualty. You hear of a Christian falling into sin. You hear of a Christian who walks away from God, who backslides. And as much as the world would write those people off, God never writes anyone off. He's so patient, long-suffering, and merciful to us. And he can help us when we've fallen. Obviously, there are today, as we think of Memorial Day, there are many people who have fallen in the line of duty in the battle, fallen defending our country. And one thing that is drilled into soldiers, I'm not a veteran. I wasn't in the services, but I've had those who were in the service tell me this, that one thing that's drilled into you as a soldier is that you never leave your brother behind, or you never leave your soldier behind. The Lord never leaves anyone behind. When he sees someone who's fallen down, he doesn't just wipe his hands of them and say, okay, we'll just forget about them. No, the Lord is so kind and compassionate and merciful that he'll say, okay, well, this soldier, maybe he's had his legs blown off. Okay, so this soldier, he can't do what he once used to be able to do, but I'll find something for him to do. And in the battle of the spiritual realm, people, because of the consequence of sin, will be afflicted, sometimes altered, changed, but yet the Lord never gives up on anyone. I'm so thankful for that. On a Memorial Day, a little boy went to church with his mom, and after church, the little boy was looking at the brass plaques that were hanging over the foyer in the church building, and he asked his mom, what are all these names here for? His mother answered and said, those are the names of the people who died in the service. "Oh," said the little boy, looking a little disturbed, "is that the morning or the evening service?" And so hopefully my sermons aren't that bad, okay? That you won't make it out of the service alive. But we do know that there are people who have died in service for our country. And we do know that there are servants of God who have been wounded, who have maybe, in a sense, experienced a spiritual death because of the consequences of sin or just because of the victory that Satan had over them. And yet the Lord says, "I'm going to raise them up again." The Lord raises those that are fallen down. We ought to be a church that desires to restore the fallen, to seek and to save those who are lost, but then also to salvage those who have gone astray, to bring them back. It goes both ways. As we talked about the prodigal son, yes, we want to make sure we try to get as many people saved as possible, but we also want to go after those wayward children of God who have gone astray. We ought to be a church that is forgiving and loving and compassionate to reach out to those and try to bring them back into the fold. The Lord raiseth those that are fallen down. Next, we see number four, the Lord loveth his own. It says in verse number 8, the Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord loveth his own. That word love there is not the word that we often think of when we think of love. The word agape is the word we often think of with love. It's a deep, abiding love. This word actually is the word for love is actually an affectionate love. It's not just a deep, abiding love that God has for you, although he does. It's unconditional. It's everlasting. And he loves you with a deep, abiding love. But here it says that he's affectionate in our love towards us. The Lord expresses his affection towards us in so many different ways. It's just so funny, and you can't make stuff up. You can't make these things up, but many years ago, I just had a fixation with being consumed by squirrels. There was something about squirrels. I just thought, man, they are so adorable. They're such beautiful little animals. And I said, "Lord, those are, thank you for making the squirrel." And I made this promise to God. I said, "Lord, anytime I see a squirrel, I'm going to use that as a memorial. That's going to be a remembrance. And when I see a squirrel, I'm going to remember how much you love me." So I chose a squirrel as my memorial, as my reminder of God's love for me. We move out here. I mean, this place is full of squirrels. I don't know. It's overrun with squirrels. I mean, there's squirrels everywhere. And I just, they're just... Thursday night? I think Thursday night, Renee stopped by. She left some things on our back porch, and in those things were some raisins, and I think it was a bread. And we weren't home at the time, but when we got home, we saw a squirrel. He was eating through the bag. He had a piece of this long piece of bread, like a bread that you see for a sub. He had this bread. It was out on a chair, and he was eating it. It was like probably had a quarter of it gone, it seemed like. And he made a mess and got it into some of the raisins. And I was like, man. But anyway, God has a sense of humor because our front yard and our backyard is overrun with squirrels. I mean, it's an invasion. I was thinking about calling up Brother Spence and Brother Jim and saying, "Listen, you got to do something about these squirrels. I know you do a good job with catching those rats, but we need to do something." But no, I love it because it's like, every single day, I see those things, and God's shouting, "I love you, Bill. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." And by the way, they've even found a playground to play on. It's called the Green Church Van. They love jumping up on a thing. They chase each other down off the top of it, and then back down, and it's like they're just chasing each other, and they're just having a good old time. It's their jungle gym, or their... monkey bars, I think they used to call them, but they're having a grand old time out there every morning. But the Lord, just simple thing like that, it was the Lord saying, "I love you. I love you." He knows. He knows what you like. He knows what you need. And I know our God. Every single day, He's expressing His love to you. A lot of times we just miss it. We're so busy. We're so consumed with other things. We don't even, take time to notice God sharing His love with us. Of course, obviously, in addition to this, this is God's love letter to you. The fact that He would invite you to prayer is God saying, "I love you." And there's so many other things, but God very uniquely shows that He loves us. I can be, and I know I'm just about out of time, but I can be very honest with you this morning. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not trying to act like I've seen some extra biblical revelation, but there have been times where I've been at the altar praying or in my office praying, whereas as almost if, as I'm praying, I felt someone touch me on the shoulder. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not trying to be exaggerate. Now, I'm not saying that God was physically in the room, touched me, but, you know, there's been times where I felt his presence so clearly. It was God saying, hey, I love you, and I want you to know I'm here. A lot of times it's been in dark moments, or it's been in discouraging times where the Lord has shown, expressed his affection and his love. But number four, the Lord loveth his own. Lastly, number five, the Lord preserveth the saint. The Lord preserveth the saint. Oh, my soul. I have so many verses here. There's no way I can give you all these verses. And maybe I'll just make a copy for you and just put it out on the track table. But I believe there's 25 verses here about how God looseth those that are in bondage, how God opens the eyes of the blind, how God raises those who are fallen down, how God loves his own, and how God preserves the saint. Got a whole list of verses here. I'm not going to go through all of them, but on this point, I do want to cover some verses. In Psalm 31, verse 23, the Bible says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. In Psalm 97, verse 10, the Bible says, Ye that love the Lord, hate evil, he preserveth the souls of his saints. Proverbs 2, 8, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. 1 Peter 1, 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jude 1, 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord has promised to preserve the saint. This morning, God has made a promise to you to guard and protect you. And if you're saved, then you're secure. He's got a hedge of protection around you, and you cannot lose that salvation. You cannot lose your standing as a member in the family of God. You are promised by Almighty God to be preserved until his heavenly kingdom. And the Lord preserves the saint. I'm so thankful for that. As we think of Memorial Day, I don't know if they have Memorial Day parades around here. Probably, I would assume they do. But they would have it back in New York, a town called Chatham on Memorial Day. They would have a small parade there. They would have a bigger parade in a neighboring city in Massachusetts. And even in the Capitol, I'm sure they had them, but we didn't go up there much. But when we think of Memorial Day, many don't remember where the origins came from. It was in actually 1868. John Logan was commander-in-chief of the Grand Army of the Republic. And he issued a general order, Order number 11, and it formally established May 30th as Memorial Day. Though this holiday has become, for many, a day to remember a dead loved ones, it was originally established to honor our war dead. Logan ordered that it would be a day, quote, for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in the defense of their country, end quote. It was a day of patriotic speeches, visiting and decorating graves of fallen heroes. It was a day of prayers and singing of hymns. It was a day of remembering those who died to defend our freedom. Let's not forget those who died to give us freedom we enjoy every single day as Americans. Let us always remember them. And while we remember them, let's remember our memorial, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember always that the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cruel cross to give us spiritual freedom from death and sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ displayed the greatest love that could ever be shown. No greater love had a man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And Jesus is our memorial. The Lord is our memorial. Let us remember, be thankful, and to be grateful for who he is. I'm so glad he looses those who are in bondage. I'm so glad he opens the eyes of those who are in darkness. He raises those who have fallen. He loves those that are his own, and he preserves the saints. This morning, We've got a great memorial. And every day should be Memorial Day for the Christian. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. Walk with him, talk with him, spend time with him. Give him the honor and the admiration that he deserves. Pray, Father, we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our memorial. We're so grateful that he was willing to be the ultimate sacrifice. He was willing to pay the price for our sin. The wages of our sin was death and hell, and he paid for those wages on the cross of Calvary, experienced somehow for us hell in a minute amount of time so that he could be a complete sacrifice. And Lord, we're so thankful that he was willing to do that so we could be forgiven. He should never be forgotten. He should never be overlooked. We should never take him for granted. We should respect and honor him in all things, in all ways. Lord, help us this weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, not just to be appreciative for those who have died for our country, but to be grateful for he who died for the world so that whosoever will could be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just want to encourage you that he's willing and ready and waiting to embrace you and accept you into the family of God. You've got to admit that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. Ask him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sin. And he's made a promise that whosoever shall call upon him, he will save. And so I pray that you would do that if you're unsure today. If you were to die, whether or not you would go to heaven, I pray that you get that settled and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. And as a Christian, with our head bowed and eyes closed, may this be a message that will reignite the gratitude that we have for the Lord who is our memorial. Father, we ask your blessing upon this song of invitation now. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.